From the time that I was a child, I was somebody who loved stories. I wasn't the best reader myself. I always read fairly slowly, and so often I didn't go to pick books up myself. But I do remember enjoying times when Mom or Dad would read a story to me. Among my favorites back then were some of the Dr. Seuss classics, Green Eggs and Ham, 10 Apples Up on Top, Are You My Mother? And the thing is, even though I knew how those books ended, I could hear them again and again, and never did I get tired of them. But it wasn't just conventional stories that I used to like hearing. Sometimes I used to like it when Mom or Dad would just tell us kids stories of times back when they were younger, before we kids were born. And you know, sometimes my sister, brother, and I would ask them to retell some of the same stories that we had heard many times before, even though we knew what was going to happen in those stories. I don't know, maybe it was just we thought those stories gave us a connection to them and a connection perhaps to even previous generations. And because we knew how the stories, how they played out, sometimes we found ourselves kind of putting ourselves into the stories. Perhaps sometimes as a bystander, or perhaps somebody who is integral to the story. We managed to see ourselves right in the midst of the stories as the stories were unfolding. Tonight's story is one we have heard many times before. The story of the very first Christmas. It's a story that has spanned the ages. Probably for most of us, it's a story that our parents knew, our grandparents knew, and perhaps even their grandparents before them. From generation to generation, the story has been passed down from one to another. People have thought there was something in the story that was worth sharing with others. Imagine yourself somewhere inside the story. Imagine yourself as one of the characters, or perhaps somebody who's just kind of watching things unfold before your eyes. What do you see happening? What things seem to catch your attention? Imagine being there when, in the room, when Mary is visited by the angel. Imagine the look on Mary's face as she hears the angel say to her, "You're going to give birth to the Son of God." Imagine being there as Mary shares that news with Joseph, her fiancé. And just imagine his reaction to that news. And the look on Mary's face when Joseph tells her a little bit later on that he's just heard that Caesar Augustus has called for a census. And then everybody has to go to the town of their ancestors in order to be counted. I can just imagine the look on her face, because Joseph's hometown was some 80 miles away or so from where they lived. Certainly not a comfortable journey to make when for somebody who is nearly 9 months pregnant. And do you know why censuses were called back in those days in the first place? They weren't called just out of mere curiosity for those in authority who wanted to find out some population growth trends over the years. No, censuses were called for two main reasons. Reasons related to power and money. By calling for a census, the rulers could find out how many males were available in various districts if ever an army was needed. And a census could also help rulers in their financial planning because the number of people who were counted made it clear the number of eligible taxpayers. I can just imagine Joseph just wondering, will they even know if we don't turn up? Couldn't we just hold on for a little bit longer and deal with the census later? Couldn't we just wait a bit longer so the baby can be born here and then we can deal with things after that? But power rules the day. And when you're told by Caesar to do something, you do it. So Joseph and Mary, they start off on their arduous journey. They set off to the town of Bethlehem. What are some of the other points in the story that you imagine playing out before you? Perhaps you picture yourself right there as Joseph and Mary are looking for a place to stay once they've arrived in that town of Bethlehem. Can you feel their dejection as they get turned away from one place after another because there's no room available? Can you sense what Joseph might have been feeling when he's told that they can go around the back of one of the places to a stable? I can imagine Joseph just making that walk back from the door of that inn where he's just been turned away but told about the stable, and he's making the walk back to Mary, and he's wondering how she's going to respond. I mean, he's feeling pretty bad. What's Mary going to say? A smelly stable for the birth of a baby? And yet it was that place or nothing. And the actual look on Mary's face is one of relief. So they go out to that stable. And then within a few moments of the arrival at that stable, birth pangs can be heard in the surrounding neighborhood. And soon after that, those sounds are replaced by the sound of a brand new baby. Travel with me now to the outskirts of Bethlehem, to some shepherds who are keeping watch over their flocks at night. Suddenly the sky is filled with an incredible and unexplainable light. And it's as though the skies are singing. And an angel tells the shepherds that a Savior has been born. A Savior has been born to them. Imagine being one of those shepherds. Imagine being among the first to receive the news. I mean, shepherds, they weren't people who typically were among the first to receive any kind of news. So to be the first to receive news of the birth of a king, it would have been mind-blowing to them. As far as the general public were concerned back then, shepherds were nobodies. Shepherds were at the bottom of the pecking order. They were way down the social scale. They were way out on the periphery. People didn't pay attention to shepherds. At times it would have felt to those shepherds as though people just looked right through them, as though they were invisible. And yet here, when they're doing what they always do, looking after their sheep, and suddenly something happens. Here, when they're doing what they always do, and suddenly things begin to change. And from that moment on, nothing is ever the same for them. Just imagine being those shepherds. And just imagine those shepherds making their way to the stable. Imagine them arriving and being welcomed in. It is such a powerful story. It's a story that has been passed down from generation to generation to generation. Because people from generation to generation have seen something in the story that speaks very deeply to them. In this story, people catch a glimpse of themselves in relation to all that's going on in the story. In the story, people come to see something so important about God. Back when Mandy and I were first expecting children, we spent a lot of time thinking about names. We went down to the public library and signed out a book. And that kind of shows the age, eh, and signing out books. But we went down and we signed out a book to look through all sorts of different names. We wanted to choose something for our children. And yes, we considered names of previous generations, names that might connect our children to the past. But more important to us was choosing names that said something, that meant something, at least to us. So we chose Rachel and Joel. Rachel comes from a Hebrew word meaning lamb, or one with purity. And that's how we looked at Jesus, whom Scripture calls the Lamb of God. The name Joel was also significant. It also comes from a Hebrew word, which means the Lord is God. Another important thing that we held to be true. You know, earlier this evening, we heard a reading from the prophet Isaiah that spoke about people walking in darkness, seeing a great light. Words written hundreds of years before the time of Jesus. And you know, if you go back a couple of chapters from that one that we heard this evening, we hear these words from the very same prophet, Isaiah. He will be given the name Emmanuel. Why do we retell this story from generation to generation? We tell the story because of what's behind that name, Emmanuel. I think so often we kind of let the meaning of that name just kind of pass us by without really thinking much about it. But let's hold on to that word just a little bit longer this evening. Emmanuel. It means God with us. When I let the implications of that name sink deep into me, I find it mind-boggling. God, the creator of the world, coming to live as one of us. Coming to experience the very same things that I experience. And you know, had God done it any differently, had God just decided simply to turn up somewhere out of the blue in a form similar to that of the angels, I don't think really any of us would have thought any less of God had God done that. If God was going to appear, I think that's probably the way that many of us would have expected God to appear. But the fact that God didn't do that, the fact that God didn't appear out of the blue, says something to me that's far more telling. By God coming as a baby, born to a peasant girl who's barely a teenager, by God coming as a baby, completely vulnerable and dependent on those around him. By God coming as a baby, it says something so profound. It says that God isn't going to lord himself over us, but rather that God's just going to look us in the eye. It tells us that God is willing to meet us on our level, and that God is willing to experience everything we experience. And doesn't the place where the child was born. And the people who first received the news also say something important that we need to consider. The shepherds likely were pretty baffled when they heard that a new king had been born, particularly because where they were told, when they were told that the baby would be lying in a manger in a stable, that wouldn't have made any sense to them, because kings were born in palaces, and palaces had many armed guards around them. And as I said before, shepherds were among the lowest of the low, so why would anybody tell them anything? Why would they be the first to be told anything? And yet Emmanuel, God with us, the name, it says it all. What better place for the birth of the Savior than a stable? A place that was accessible to anyone, even shepherds. There was no high level entry bar for one to be allowed into a stable. Anybody would have been welcome. And the shepherds receiving the news first couldn't have been more fitting. Because Emmanuel, God with us. Not God only with important people, not God only with wealthy people, not God only with the powerful, but God, even with those who've been pushed out to the periphery. God, with those who had no voice. God, with those who often weren't included. God, with those for whom the world often turned its back. The fact that the news first went to shepherds, it couldn't have been more fitting. Because any one of us would have been allowed to have been a shepherd. The news going first to them shows us that no one is out of reach of God. There is absolutely nobody who is unworthy. Where do you see yourself in the story this evening? Where will you see yourself in the context of the story tomorrow morning when you're opening presents? Where will you see yourself in the story when the excitement of this year's Christmas has faded and you're focusing on other things? You know, as I try to imagine my place in the story, as you try to imagine your place in the story, I see Jesus doing the same thing as well. But not as much merely seeing himself in his story, but rather seeing himself in your story. Remember his name, Emmanuel, God with us, God with you. That's where he's determined to be. May our eyes, may our hearts come to know that reality this Christmas. And this Christmas, may each one of us take one more step closer to him. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your incredible love. We thank you for Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, it's mind-boggling to think of. But we thank you that you want to be with us. Lord, sometimes we don't feel particularly worthy. Sometimes we feel as though we're just kind of wandering aimlessly, but you are with us always, and we thank you for that. Help us to recognize that you are there with us. Help us to come to know your love in a very real way. And help us to closely follow you behind. We ask these things in Jesus' name.